It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and every other week our special guest, Mr. James Corbett. James Corbett, he just finished his 7th annual Fake News Awards, and I watched it this afternoon, and you just put it up, what, yesterday or the day before or something recently? How long has that been up?
A couple days.
All right, what's the commentary on it? I mean, that's always a popular thing. Looks like you spent some days on it. You know, you didn't get it out till February, so you must have been spending some extra time. So tell me about your prep on that.
Yeah. Well, this year was especially crazy because, yeah, me and Brock generally are now booking off January just to work on this. But, yeah, this year was even crazier because of the site redesign, and we did a new design and logo and intro for New World next week and all of that. So it's just been a crazy, like unbelievably crazy month. Anyway, yeah, it's out. I hope people enjoy it. We definitely put our blood, sweat, and tears into it, and I think it's
funny.
You know,
it was, I think you brought it. It was a lot of the stuff that's going, it was funny, and you were having fun. Till right at the end, it's like, you know, God, this is not funny, you know, this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you brought it back. I kind of grounded it. You know, the, yeah, we're in the middle of a site redo, too. And we have been, you know, piddling around with kind of, you know, and I tell you what motivates the guys. James did it. James got a new site. So what prompted that, you know, that you're doing? We had a bunch of reasons why we have to redo ours, but you know, what was your reasoning for redoing your site?
It was literally broken. It was a 13-year-old theme, actually probably about a 15-year-old theme. It was already a couple years old when I adopted it back in 2011. So it was fine enough for 2011. By 2024, I mean, it was literally broken in every possible way. I couldn't update, I couldn't upgrade. PHP was on an old insecure version that I couldn't upgrade. I couldn't upgrade the WordPress core, et cetera, et cetera. It was broken 7 ways from Sunday. The videos tab had stopped working. So I'd known also for about at least a year that it was absolutely necessary to do this site redesign. So I've been thinking about it, planning it, and about 6 months ago, we started working on it. And for the past few months, working on it rather furiously, and finally got it up. Enough, at any rate, to launch. And then we've been doing tweaks.
Oh, my God, why that long? What the heck are you doing for months?
There's a lot of stuff to think about with a big site like this and how it's organized and how you want it displayed, et cetera, et cetera. There's just a lot to think about. And of course, it's one of those things you can plan as much as you want beforehand, but then once you get up and you're starting to use it, you are tweaking and fixing and this over here and some user finds something that you didn't know
right. You
couldn't find yourself, so you have to fix that. So anyway, we're still literally to this day, like, I have to go at the top of the hour because I have another meeting with the web designer. We're still implementing fixes and getting the front page working right. But anyway,
you know, we don't use WordPress. We started the site in 2005, so we were like you know, it was original everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when I started in 07, it was literally hand-coded by my friend here in Japan. But
really?
That didn't last very long, but it lasted enough for what I needed.
You know, we keep everything in-house. You know, it's like a lot of time we got a social media director that we hired, a really good guy. I'm really lucky to have him. Yeah. His name's Pete Iyer. He was Motorhome Diaries, copblock.org. You may remember those guys. And so he's an activist. That's exactly what I needed. The guy with good, mature temperament, you know, that likes to engage. And I said, man, engage. You can be social media guy all over, man. I don't care. Well, I'd like to have it set it up any way you want, man. I don't care. So he's really went through the site a lot, and we're sending this stuff. I just had a meeting, you know, sent stuff with to Derek to go ahead and change. And we could probably, somebody put a gun to our head, we get it done in a week, you know, because we already have the infrastructure, you know, kind of we just change and move stuff and features that we feature and that kind of stuff. But we had to wait, and I kept waiting and waiting. It was about Thanksgiving that we kind of were ready. And then it's, you know, I don't get in the middle of it in the holidays. I mean, that'd be a pain in the butt. So like January, kind of getting on it. And the reason is because we really, 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 well, I insisted on having our decentralization of the storage of data be able to integrate with the site and with other platforms. Yeah. I wouldn't even go on other platforms. We just went on, turned on our BitChute and Brighteon, and they're doing the others, and we're working on that, and you're kind of easing into it with Matt, you know, over at Content Sale and stuff. Yeah. And I go, nope, not doing it until I am absolutely positive that we have our IPFS working well, that we got the indexing, we could do searches, we can do that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But we perfected that. You know, Derek got it going on this last summer. We have that we can make sure that content in war in 24, when the great reset and the great taking is going to be the great purging, I guarantee it. Freaking to it, and my pronouns are going to be I told you so, you know, this is coming. So until we could do that, you know, and integrate it into the use of the site,
exactly,
I wasn't going to do the reading.
That's why I've always hosted all the MP3 and MP4 files myself on my own server, which
you'd imagine.
If I wasn't donated a server by EuroVPS, if they didn't give me that server, I couldn't do that. Like, I get why most people don't do that. It's because it would be incredibly onerously expensive and difficult. And
well,
so I'm blessed enough to get that.
Well, we use other server farms and so on, mostly for backup now, because Derek, you know, has his own server farm at his thing. He has so many batteries and solar and stuff, even in Maine, the power goes out, which it does. He has 3 days he can run the server.
Wow.
You know, I'm like, you the man.
Yeah.
You know? And the reason is because his father does refurbs on telecoms. You're like, Verizon needs a new data center or whatever. And they strip out all the batteries and racks and everything, put in new stuff. You know, what do we do with this? I don't know. It goes in Derek. That's
what happens. You know what I've been thinking recently? Think about any other era of media production. It's like, imagine if Alfred Hitchcock had to not only direct the movie, but he had to actually, like, fix the camera if it gets broken. And then he has to do deals with distributors to get the movie distributed to theaters. Imagine if the Beatles had to sit there on street corners hawking their albums one by one and fixing the radio broadcast tower when it goes out so that they can broadcast the signal so that people can hear their music. Like, that's the era we're living in, where I have to be everything.
But what's the advantage?
There is certainly an independence that comes from that, but my God,
absolutely,
is it
it's decentralization. This is exactly my point.
Yeah.
That's one thing I loved about your site and the way you worked and everything. One, it's great content, but you always encouraged, you know, and that's probably a reason why we kind of, you know, on the same page a lot.
Yeah.
Is that no, download it.
Yeah,
it's right here. Freaking download. You like it? Download it.
Yeah,
dummy.
Yeah.
You know, because it don't count on it being whatever. You know, one of the things I was just looking at your site here, and I was pulling up, you know, you have watch on, and then you got, I didn't know this archive.org that you can post yourself and have your own channel.
Yep.
Well, you know, that's cool. Yep.
And, you know, I know about archive.org because I remember when I was first starting to get into podcasts and things, even before podcasts, actually, I was going to archive.org because I was like, oh, you know, you can download the Martin Luther King's 1967 War in Vietnam speech. You can download it and listen to it. You can download this weird radio show from KPFK in California, and I'm here in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I was using archive.org, you know, 20 plus years ago. And the best part about it is no one really knows about archive.org. No one thinks about it, but it has been up and functioning for, what, 30 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, it was like Memory Hole. I mean, you know, Memory Hole got sucked up by Google or something. Yeah, I can't remember.
At any rate, Archive has been there for decades, and I know James Impalato talks about things being scrubbed off of his Archive channel. I don't know. I haven't seen it on my channel, but at any rate, it's up there. It's been up there. I was posting things there in 2007 that are still there. So it's a great resource, and I don't want people to broadly know about it. I want the people who know to know so that they'll know,
right.
You know, when the big censorship happens. Hey, there's this little cubbyhole over here.
Well, yeah, you don't want to get too much attention to get the Hellfire missile.
Yep.
You know, this is Rockfin. I made a mistake when they said, yeah, get all the stuff ready and do it. And I just wanted to, you know, archive the page or something. And when you do the application, they expect you to be all ready, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, your header and you have that and everything. I go, oh, I'll finish that later. And I go back in. And then I see, hey, man, you know, if you don't have it done, you know, like the 7 days we tell you, it's no. And I'm like, damn it. I should have had, I got some really nice art for it and stuff too. Mm. So I have Matt, you know, maybe he's got some in and so on that. So we have, and our Odyssey channel we just had, it was a fan that actually did it.
Mm.
You know, he created a script that did the IPFS right. That went straight to it and so on. That was a demonstration we did in Acapulco, the show. Don't tell me it can't be done.
Right,
I got a listener that did it.
But it hasn't been working lately, crap. Right?
What?
Your Odyssey channel. I don't think it's had a video for like a year.
I don't
and
know.
Half or something.
Well, I have my own that I haven't done. I didn't want to compete with him.
Okay.
You know. So once I stopped the regular morning show,
right.
I bet he kind of lost interest. You know. But the we're getting it. But you see. When you do this stuff and you go on these pages, you get locked in. You know, it's monetized.
Yep.
You know, it's monetized. Yep. You just monetize Rumble. It's monetized Rockfin. It's we got to, you can't say that word and you got to do it right. Then you got to respond to all the crap. That I go, no. I go, not until we have the archive set up, ready, kind of, and it feeds from one load.
Yeah.
So I do one load because I do one load. I'm just not doing this stuff. And then,
I'm using Matt Raymer over at Content Save.
How's that working for you?
Works fine for me. Yeah, I upload to Odyssey. It uploads pretty much everywhere else. So
he likes Odyssey, you know. But I insisted that it come from the IPFS, and that's how.
Yeah, I'm sure that could be done. Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know. I think I introduced you to Matt. You know, does that ring a bell?
So. Yeah.
You know, because we. Started this and he built a business around it and he uses IPFS servers at Derek's to be able to do a lot of the stuff that he does. And this has gotten to the point I wanted it to be perfected so that we can do it for content providers just like you and us and other, because this is the great reset taking purge coming. You know, what's your thoughts on this in 24, how they're going to be going after, you know, alternative, the truth teller kind of thing. What's your prediction?
Well, look, I saw a shocking, unbelievable headline today that you're not going to believe. Apparently, the YouTube CEO is saying that he's going to boost authoritative sources and get rid of disinformation during the 2024 selection cycle. Wow! Amazing. It was funny because I think it was on like Reclaim the Net or one of those kind of sites. And I'm like, I get it. You got to generate content, but this is not news by any stretch of the imagination. Anyway, it's a selection circus here. So you better believe disinformation and misinformation and online. Oh my God, is going to be part of the news cycle, right?
It's so obvious. It just blasts me in the face all the time. You know, there was, I got the transcript up. As soon as I saw it come up, we put it up on Freedom's Phoenix. That's one of the things that we can do. We can, you know, do a lot of things. And if I don't know how, Donna does a lot of the scraping of different stuff. She figured out how to do that. And we got the transcript of the interview between Tucker and Putin.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, you know, this is interesting. They haven't done the video yet or will soon or something. But the, here, I'll show you. On front page of Freedom.
Yeah, I was just browsing the front page. I didn't see that transcript.
Well, it you know, freaking stuff. Yeah, I gotta make it.
Stuff piles up quick,
so I can get to it. Yeah, no, it goes pretty quick. And let's see.
Oh yeah, there it is. Full transcript.
This guy, ex-CIA computer engineer who leaked secrets to WikiLeaks, gets 40 years in prison.
Yeah.
You know, you think they want to send a message?
Well, you know, apparently there were some charges to do with child SAM, sexual assault. Was that planted or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah, right. I mean, how the hell do we know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, damn, man. We got stuff going up. Oh, here's one. Audio cloning. You have a phone call, and all of a sudden, AI comes in. It can be either person, just cut you out.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because there was a big story about someone that managed to get spoofed. Actually, I think it was like a Zoom call with his boss, and his boss was telling him to wire $20 million of the company money to some bank account or something. And so he was checking like and emailing and texting various coworkers and stuff. And he was like, okay, I'll do it, and did it. And it turns out everything, the Zoom call and every text and every email, was all being spoofed. It was all deepfake. So it's here.
Do you fire that guy?
Huh?
Do you fire him?
Oh, yeah.
Do you fire that guy? I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, on another level, is that even a real story? Or is that just a story they want to implant into popular consciousness now? But
exactly. You know, this is, here's one before we get to that other. It was, it was up there. Gina Carano, you know, the one that was fired from The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Because she had done a tweet or something before Musk got there, I think, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and she got fired for one of her posts. Well, he had made the thing, if you get fired, we're going to fund your lawsuits. Yeah. So he did her. Then this one comes out. Elon Musk declares war on Disney, funds all lawsuits. Because he's going, hey, yeah, you know, don't advertise. You listening, Bob? So this is, it's on. It's on. Okay, so let's get to the, man, that was earlier today. It's here somewhere.
Yeah, I got it up here on my side, but yeah, it's pretty far down now.
Holy crap. See, that's,
well, it was
one
highlighted
thing.
In get, green on my screen. It was like,
but we get so much
color.
Stuff that goes, well, it, okay, well, if it's in green, it probably is down here. Every mark, some. All right, well, this is what I do.
Oh, there it is. You just know. Passed it through, passed it. A little further.
Yeah, they got, we got the, you know, news. Do you put Avatar 6 and 7 are coming? You know, so.
Are they on 5? Did they do 5? What?
I don't know. I don't keep track of that at all.
I never even saw the first one.
Tucker confirms Putin interview.
Hey, I never saw the new Dune. Did you see it?
I saw the first installment.
Okay, yeah. The second one hasn't come out yet, right? But
well, it's just, they're just now releasing it, or something. I saw something.
Yeah.
And it was okay. You know, I read the book, and, you know, you're never going to do the book.
Oh, there it is. It's right above there. There you go.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, crap. I don't know what I was looking for. Okay, so here is the transcript. You know, blah, 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 blah. And the one thing that he says is, he goes, Joe Biden's not running the country. He goes, well, if Trump's in, or the guys before, what? He goes, the presidents don't run your country. Don't you know that? We know that. I'm KGB. I know that, you know. So yeah. It's it was an interesting. Yeah. It was pretty light. He asked the right question. Right. You know, what do you think about, you know, BRICS, Hamas, Israel, Ukraine? What's, you know, he kind of answered it. It wasn't like, you know, bomb dropping. Yeah. The biggest thing was the indifference towards the West. He goes, oh, yeah. He's like, well, are you getting involved in the elections? And he goes, why? He goes, I don't see the U.S., certainly not the people, as the enemy. But he goes, it was a quote somewhere. He goes, you know, when your enemy is destroying themselves, don't get in their way. I mean, you know, so he's like, you guys just do you. You know, it's all good. So it was very interesting. But before we get too far, I want to do your 7th annual fake awards, okay? So this is this the player? Yeah. It's probably about 2 minutes, you know, and then it gets into it and everything. But the introduction into it, when you do your your pee rant, you know, I got to get to that part, you know. So this is, it's just, and tell the people, because it's not going to be in this clip, tell the people why you call it the Dino Awards, you know, you're doing that for fake news.
Yeah, well, when I first started this 7 years ago, I was thinking, you know, Grammys, Emmys, Oscars, whatever you're going to call these. And literally, I don't even remember exactly how it came together, but my children did have these, or did I buy them for this? I don't remember anymore. Maybe I bought them for my children, but also for the awards. But they're just these stupid plastic dinosaur toys. And dinosaur mainstream media. It's the dinosaur media. I often call it that because I really do think there is something, you know, resonant about that analogy. The comet struck. The internet has changed the media landscape. These legacy media outlets have been dead for decades. They just don't quite know it yet, or they're starting to. And whatever, put the caveats on it that you want. That's not necessarily, you know, Shangri-La and everything's fine now. Of course not. But at any rate, that system, the 20th century media paradigm, is done. It's already extinct. So this is the dinos. You are fake news. You are the dinosaur media. You're already dead.
The lamestream media, the media so last century.
Yeah.
Last millennia now, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I'm with you, brother. All right. I'm going to go ahead and just.
And now, from a deep underground military base on the other side of the flat Earth, it's time for the 7th Annual Fake News Awards. Your host, Bent Kruckman. And a special guest appearance by Yaroslav Hunka and his international cheerleaders. How did the disinformation specialists of the Mockingbird media lie to the public this year? What rich creamery nothing burgers did they use to whip the public into hysteria over matters of no consequence whatsoever? And what real scandals of earth-shaking importance did they ignore? And who will walk away with the most coveted dino of them all, the fake news story of the year? Find out in this face-meltingly, apocalyptically horrifying extravaganza of media mendacity known as the Fake News Awards. Brought to you by our corporate sponsors. Bud Light. Just forget everything that happened last year. McDonald's. Come for the free meals for Zionist occupiers. Stay for the free rats. And FTX. Matt Damon made me do it. And now, stumbling out of the hermetically sealed tin can that we keep him in for the first time in 364 days, here's your host, Bent Kruckman. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, non-binary transforming robots and assorted others. Welcome back. Bent Kruckman here. And let me tell you, it's my pleasure to be here once again dispensing these dinos of dishonor to the remorseless regurgitators of rubbish in the lying lamestream media. No, really, I'm thrilled. Thrilled, I tell you, to be here yet again, sorting through the morass of mendacity disgorged from the mandibles of the Mockingbird media over the course of the past year. No. Listen to me. It's not only my honor, but my sacred duty, a position that I'm not worthy to hold, to be the one parsing the putrid propaganda puked up by the polluted publishers of perjury with these pseudo-prizes. I can't contain my contentment at conferring these counterfeit kudos on the cretinous curators of putrid propaganda. Whew. Thank you. As I was saying, it's time.
and it gets better. You know, So this is fun, and it was almost too fun, you know. Mm. And then you brought it home at the end of how death, dying, and destruction is these scumbags.
You know, it's such a fine line to walk, isn't it? Because I'm making fun of the dinosaur media and their stupid fake news, but this is not funny stuff. I mean, we are talking about real people losing their lives. And so I never, ever want it to be like as if I'm making fun of that. You know what I mean? And it's such a hard line to walk, but I hope I did it.
Well, it, you know, satire and comedy is, they had to kill that. It was obvious when they went to this woke, identity politics of whatever. Comedians, man, you couldn't go on campuses. They made sure of that, you know. And I've seen a lot of stand-ups on, you know, like when Donna, we were dating, she's at Penn State. They'd always have, you know, some little concert or comedian come and so on. They love that. Yeah. And, you know, I was at ASU, they do the same thing. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, this is, they had to kill that. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to make sure that the comedians weren't able to make fun of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
So comedy, and that's what I'm seeing. There's, you know, my youngest daughter, she's really big into comedy, and one of my sons and her, and they always go to the improv and stuff with their, you know, their spouses, and they're doing something. They go, oh, yeah, Ernie, this guy's a fan. That's why Sam Tripoli, the fact that I even know him, all of a sudden, I'm cool now that I know Sam, you know.
Yeah.
But so she's a big Sam fan. And this is, they tell me about the new ones, and I'm watching, and the only one that really had notoriety that kind of, you know, busted the mold was Dave Chappelle. Mm. And that, and the fact that, you know, Netflix even have a special or something like that, they know where the money is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But the some of these guys are, it's funny that it's starting to come back. Mm. I mean, just in the last few months, it's coming back. And they can see it's safe to come back because they, them, those that are propagating this stuff are on the ropes.
Yeah.
It has changed. 24, I mean, is not, they have to have
to some extent, it really is reality outstripping the satire, because you can't even make fun of it as fast as it's actually happening in reality. What was the headline I just saw, I think yesterday, was about, there was a volleyball game, I think a like college level volleyball game that was taking place in Canada, and five of the players on the court, on both teams, five of them, this was a woman's volleyball game, but five of them were transgenders. They were men, trans women. And it was ridiculous. And every other, like all of the biologically actually female women were getting, you know, put on and off the, brought into and out of the game, put on the bench, whatever. But the five trans women were there the whole time and were spiking the ball. They've already had, I think, a couple of concussions related to trans women competing in women's volleyball, you know, spiking it so hard, it's actually giving the real women concussions.
Well, definitely in fighting. You got some guy punching the crap. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't
This is the kind of thing, like, how can you even make fun of it? It is this, it's literal insanity. Like, what can you even say about it that's comedic?
You know, one thing I saw, we had a story up. It was Peter Thiel is having some ultra sports competition. It's like Olympics for enhanced people. Take whatever concoction you want.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna market. We're marketing it. You know, we're not gonna do this Tom Brady thing. He's healthy and kind of look how I can play quarterback till I'm 56 or something. You know, buy my drink or whatever it is. No, buy my drink and you can play NFL football at six. I mean, so it's he's really wanting to push this, which is fine, peace, do what you want, you know. But to have women's sports, certainly at collegiate level, and where did that even come from? This is what answers this one question. Janet Napolitano was assistant attorney general under Reno in the Clinton administration here in Arizona, did some crazy stuff, and we got history with her. Then she becomes attorney general. You know, that was kind of sketchy how that happened. Then she becomes governor, also sketchy. Then she leaves and becomes Department of Homeland Security head. And then from there, you know where she went?
I don't know, actually. Maybe I do.
Head of the colleges and universities of California.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I think I know why, you know? So there was a plan. You know, this and that was the big deal. She was like a Hillary supporter or something, and she came out and endorsed Obama in the 08 or whatever, the election. So that was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, then, of course, you know, she becomes Homeland Security, and then she does the colleges, and I'm going, there had to be a wink and a nod, a plan of we're on board with whatever the hell is coming.
Sure.
You know, yeah. I guarantee this is all part of the same thing.
Yeah.
But it, now the problem is I had, you know, Bob and I was talking about this. Okay, all right, here, you know, give me 30 seconds here. Schumer comes out today. You know, I didn't even put it on. I don't care, you know. But somebody sent me an email or whatever about it. Oh, this is like the big story news. Schumer comes out. Republicans go, look, you're not getting any more Ukraine or Israel money unless it's got border stuff in it or something. So they throw a border thing in there. Well, we're going to limit it to only $1.5 million, like I believe them anyway, of, you know, immigrants, illegal immigrants coming in or something, whatever. So the Republicans going, nope, not doing it, not doing it. It's going to be a good issue for us to run on. We'd lose our base if we, yeah, screw you, we're not doing it. Well, all of them want Ukraine. I guarantee that, yeah. Probably, Israel too. Yeah. You know, there's some NGOs got to get paid, you know? Yeah. So now that they said, nope, it's dead, we're not doing it, we're not doing it, Schumer and them are really counting on the money laundering going into these other, all of them. So I can see this is what happened when Obama came in, when they were doing the census and 10, all that stuff. All that money went to Acorn, which is part of the early balloting. It's all, you know, it's their foot soldiers, their brown shirts. It was the beginning of all this other crap that's coming.
Yeah.
Because it's the money.
Yeah.
It's funding. And if they don't fund Ukraine and give them gazillions of dollars or whatever the heck they need, I think they're nervous because it's drying up. They need campaign election money for 24. Where do you think all this comes from?
Mm.
From us.
Mm.
You know, not you. You're in Japan. But, you know, the thing is we're getting soaked. And I can just see it. So they're nervous. Will they pass more money for Ukraine? Well, Putin interview with Tucker makes that more difficult. Okay. So there, but will they? So my question to you, under all these circumstances, they have to have the money, the military-industrial complex, the lobbyists, the congressional contributions, the whatever the heck is going on, they have to have the money to run through their laundry machine. And that's why WikiLeaks Assange is sitting in jail, because he showed that Afghanistan was just a money laundering machine. Well, what the hell you think Ukraine is?
Yeah,
part 47 or something.
Yeah.
So what is your bet? You know, they're gonna pass some more money for Ukraine. Ukraine's gonna get some money.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what's the institutional momentum behind getting out of Ukraine? Where is the establishment institutional momentum on that side? And there is none, because as you say, it's the grift that gives for everyone. And there's absolutely a monetary aspect to it, not only the military industrial complex, but the NGO industrial complex, which has been operating there for years. And all of that Burisma, Hunter Biden stuff is related, of course, to the oligarchs that have been playing ball with various American administrations, of course, under Obama/Biden, but also under Trump. There's too many people with their bread being buttered in too many different ways for this grift to end without some sort of major shift, complete foreign policy shift. And it, beyond the money side of it, that's how everyone is brought to the table. But yeah, there's a definite foreign policy goal here, which is absolutely it's so obvious. It's so much in script over and over and over, but it's exactly like Afghanistan in the sense that, I mean, Afghanistan 1979, Operation Cyclone, where Brzezinski and the Carter administration were secretly funding and supporting and equipping and sending funds to the Mujahideen before the Soviets invaded. They were ginning it up so that the Soviets would come in so that they could give them their Afghanistan. That's exactly the same strategy that's been happening here in Ukraine for years and years and years. Everyone knows it. Only a few people in the establishment have dared to say it, like John Mearsheimer, and they get criticized for even saying it, for even bringing this self-evident reality up. But that's what it's about. So every part of the establishment is lusting for this. And I'm not expecting, whatever way the 2024 selection circus cycle plays out, that that's going to fundamentally shift or alter that focus. There may be a point at which they decide, you know what, you know, we've gotten as much as we can out of this particular proxy war, and so we'll start easing off on the gas pedal. But yeah, they're going to try to get more money in there.
You know, will they go to another war? I mean, do you think another war is coming? You know, okay, keep this in mind. I'm an older guy. I've been doing this a long time. It's always three. You know, it's North Korea, Iran, Libya. Afghanistan, China, and, you know, freaking Lebanon or so. I mean, it's always, they got backups of backups. You know, they have three. So what, we got Ukraine, we got Yemen, and they had to add Yemen. They were short ones, so they needed Yemen. So we got Yemen, Iran, and Ukraine. You see my point? There's always at least three. You know, so I'm
on the back burner. Taiwan's always there, you know, that kind of wild card thing.
Now they got some stuff on the shelf.
Yeah, that's the thing that really takes over is the wild card that you weren't being asked to pay attention to. So, you know, my money would be on it starting somewhere unexpected, like a Taiwan or something like that. But again, who knows? It is war on the table. War is definitely in the deck. And I have no
hell. It's half the deck.
Here's my take. I've been saying for years now, for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been saying that my sense of the 2020s is, what was I saying before? Short term digital ID, medium term CBDC, long term hot war. So I'm thinking towards the end of the decade, it would surprise me if we're not getting embroiled in some sort of larger conflict, whatever that looks like at this point. I hope I'm wrong. I certainly, definitely hope I'm wrong about that, but that's the way I see it going.
Well, the, you know, economics is going to have, you know, a role to play. You know, I'm looking for a sign that we did the national socialization. It was a thing during the TARP going after Shattuck. And that's one thing that I'm finding. Google, even when you go to these other sites, they just kind of, you know, anonymize you a little bit, but they still using Google search engines, you know. So that it's gone, you know.
Site, that was the one thing I remember telling my Harley, my web designer, right up off the front. No Google. I don't want a single Google call anywhere on the site ever. And so he not only got rid of all the Google scripts, but he actually instituted something on the server. It will block Google calls at the server level. So okay, great, done. And so I could use the Substack embed form, because Substack has this embed form that's always trying to call Google. But no, we've blocked it at the server level, so no, don't worry about that. The other day, I'm on the site, I'm looking at my Brave Shields. It's trying to call Google. It has, after the server block, is still trying to get around and still trying to call Google. So have to get rid of that form. It is so, people don't do this kind of web design, have no idea how pervasive this stuff is all over everything that you touch.
You know, there was a Rob, I want to keep looking for this. There was a Rob, Braxman, okay. I don't know if you know who he is. You know, he's a, you know, security. Yeah, I've had him on a couple times. So he's really, you know, it's time for him again, because he's definitely going on about it. We put a lot of stuff on Frames Phoenix for him, so he owes me a solid here. But what he did is he's going, you got to de-Google your phone. As a matter of fact, I have one of the phones. It's called the Brax X, and I got it all set up and ready. It's my backup, and then I just set it over there. I don't have to worry about it, because it's not like I'm going to update an app or anything. I mean, you know, it's just, it, you know, it works as a phone. I can get internet access. I can, you know, use online stuff. But he got complaints that it was still doing some Google thing or something. He kind of fixes it. And so on, but he had it on his own phone. And he goes, "You touch Google in any way?" And it did. He goes, "How the heck did that happen?" And it was some, he checked, he did something. It was some, you know, peripheral on the edge of kind of, you know, walked by the door and he got slimed, you know? And it's like, damn, they are freaking,
for some new way. I forgot what I saw. Honestly, I should look this up. It was the next thing that's going to replace cookies. But it's like something that's like to get around cookies and the fact that people can easily block those now. Now they're doing these associated group things where you trust one website, and then you trust every website that it's associated with.
Right.
And all of its friends.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, like when we get, you know, our home, we wanted to, you know, kind of, Ernie was here a minute ago, and then he's not. You know, I'm just saying, you know, it's going to be difficult. You know, we're trying to set up for that. Okay, I found it. You know, here, I'll show this. You can see what's up. We did hundreds of these. When John Shattuck, the Republicans, they voted against the TARP, okay? In 08, when Obama and McCain suspended their election, and they voted against it. So they needed somebody that voted against it to bring it back. John Shattuck, okay? Then he becomes a senior fellow at Cato's kind of offshoot of the Goldwater Institute. And I'm going, like, I go to them, I go, and we used to work with them a lot, you know, kind of libertarian Cato guys. And I go, he's a senior fellow now? I go, what the heck? How did that? And they go, then one of the guys, he goes, I go, okay, you know, that's how it works. So we did, and they called me, begged me not to do this. Don't do it, Ernie. You know, he's more liberal, because his father was the ghostwriter for Heart of a Conservative of Barry Goldwater. You know, so he kind of understood libertarian, and I'd work, but I ran against him 3 times for Congress. And it was because he supported a bill, it was called H.R. 666. Okay. I mean, you know, damn. I mean, seriously. So what it was is that he was used to be a prosecutor in the attorney general's office or something. He goes, well, you know, we go into these guys and their computers and everything, and because we didn't have the warrant, you know, justified to get their hard drive, but then they got all this stuff on it, we want to be able to use it in criminal proceedings and just grabbing everybody's computers, and then whatever we find, we can get you. And we can't do that. That's what we're going to do. That's with H.R. 666. I go, are you freaking kidding me? There was an intern, a young guy, that was in Washington. I remember his name was Barry. And he called me, and he said, Ernie, you were right. You know, this. He goes, if he does this, he votes for this, I'm coming home. You know, that's how bad it was. I don't know. I assume he did. You know, he seemed like a serious kid. So then this is a, I hadn't even looked at this. I hadn't seen this in a long time. This is one of the videos that. So this was a video. There he is. Okay. We were there. I was a speaker like right after him. It was, you know, right after the Tea Party thing. And they were doing, this is at the state capitol. And they had all these politicians and I'm up. But then we did this. Yeah, I'm sure it's in here. While he was talking, she comes in with a sign, one of those signs right in front of him at the state capitol, and then they're going, USA, USA, and they took it. She's holding it up to the crowd. It's one of those signs, you know? And the old man, no, you can't do that, you know, you can't do that, you know? But we had these all over the place. You know, it's national socialization. The comedy isn't fascist when I do it, John S.S. Shattuck, you know. So I'm an activist, man. This is what I do, you know. But it's always being able to do it fast, being able to do it right then. You know, you can do it better or maybe even cheaper or whatever. But if you can't do it right then, I would have it by the end of the day. And we, you know, project this up on waterproof wallboards, like this vinyl stuff, then we hook cut it out, put it down, and then we can make as many of these as we want. Exactly. No, they don't want to piss me off.
That's the most important thing about the work that I do is that, yeah, I could do everything I do better if I just had more time and spent more time on it and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Nope. Nothing's going to get done if you keep doing it that way. The fake news awards and the month we spent on that is more than enough. So,
No. You do you, man. This is one thing I wish I could do more. That's why I support your stuff so much, and I want to help, because it's the stuff that I wish that I had time to do. Yeah. You know, it's very necessary what you do. That's one of the things about Freedom's Phoenix. It's promoting all the other people. It's the other people doing stuff. I promote that. Look at this and this and this and this and this. It is very important to me that people are inspired by humanity is pushing back. Resistance is not futile.
No, I appreciate what you do. I'm just about to drop a solutions watch about this later this week. You do the pay it forward model. All the energy, with all the attention, with all the money, with all the stuff that you get, you put it forward into promoting people and their projects and things that are going on to try to put it forward to bring something else into the world. And that's the way forward. And I think everyone kind of understands that, but it's good to have a name for that and put a sort of idea to it and say, this is what we're doing. We're trying to build something else with what we have here. You know, it's great to get the accolades and the money and whatever. Yay, okay, thank you. But
yeah, I wish for the money.
We're all We're all the way drunk.
Yeah, no, this is grandchildren thing, you know. You know, one of the things, we talked about up there, I'm sure the audience be inspired by this. When we did the open source thing, when we had the open source around the holidays, we did to promote your open source education site. We have these flyers, and then we put these around on Christmas, for people to, get them on Christmas. On the back of it, it had this, and it goes, "We Know the Truth Online," that went to your site, the open source site. Then we had these flyers that go on the trash cans, and we had, thousands of them done, and this is what they look like printed and so on. And, this is what they look like. "Sorry we missed you. We went through your trash." And, "Sorry, this information is privileged. You can't tell anybody. You get 10 years in prison, Patriot Act." And to receive your free CBDC wallet, you may have to be required to update your vaccination status and register your firearms and call these numbers, and that's the newsrooms. And, so I have some fun. That kind of thing. Well, what happened, this aztiphotline.info we've had since like 08. Well, what happens, that goes to weknowthetruth.online, which forwarded to your site, to your effort. Well, it got on somebody's that got to somebody, and they found me. Because in Gilbert, a small town in East Valley here in Valley of the Sun, Phoenix area, they have some surveillance thing that the city's doing. Well, they're pissed, and they got this on their track. They went, "Oh, this is good. I got to find this. Man, we got to find out what's up." Because I don't have, it just goes to your site, And it's people, I don't know, maybe you got emails or something. But eventually, they found it to me. And they go, "Can you help?" I go, "Look, man, it's all there." I go, "There it is. There's the, the PDFs. I got PSDs for it, Photoshop files, PDF files, editable files. Rock on. You can do it yourself. And there it is. And peace out. Change it. Do it whatever you want. There's artwork. It's all done." So they're on that. Then I do a Narcopoco. I had Jeff Berwick on a couple of weeks ago. And then Kat and Lily are, the organizers of it this year. And I've known Kat Bleich for a long time. She and John Bush used to be married, and now she's got Bonadette, a new husband, doing great, and everything's wonderful. Well, this is what happened. I'm going, what would be cool? If instead of having on the front of this, we do, instead of having this on the front, we put this. So it promotes your thing. Then instead of on the back, having that, we put on the back of this, a QR code, Javier Milei's speech to the World Economic Forum, because it's in Spanish. And you put it in an Acapulco, all the cab drivers, all the Uber guys, all of the maids, all of the vendors on the beach, all of, just sling it crazy. Why? Because they had that hurricane, and an Acapulco went and helped everybody. But they still really don't know what it's about. Javier explains it. So then I go, I'll have a bunch extra done, or I'll do some, the other side with Freedom's Phoenix on it, and I'll go to the Hispanic community here in Phoenix area and blast the crap out of them with that. Oh, yeah. And the thing is that you can put it in Spanish and English, and we did this when they were trying to, there was 200,000 Hispanics when they were trying to kick all of them out, and they have legislation, SB 1070, all that kind of stuff. So we did Philosophy de la Libertad, the Philosophy of Liberty animation that's in like a gazillion languages. Well, we also had it done, we paid $1,000 to have it done in Moscow in Arabic, and we dumped thousands of these on with some other stuff that we did in Tahrir Square during Arab Spring. Well, it exploded. This is what I do. That's why we have Haria Phoenix, which is Arabic for Freedom's Phoenix. We got an Arabic Facebook and Twitter that we keep up. And the only thing that we send is stories on the Middle East that we get in English. I translate it in Arabic and send it because we use Google Translator. But, so this is the kind of stuff that we do. When I see opportunities like this, and then that's where I get criticism from local talk show, "Or are you such an opportunist?" What the hell are you talking about? Of course I am.
How is that a
ugly dummy?
Taking a moment.
Ugly dummy.
Is that people are interested in giving them information that's valuable to them. Oh my God. Horrible.
That's why you're so powerful and used so much by us, because that's why we did the open source project. Because in the open source project, what did we have? It had, videos that people need to understand what the hell happened, what's going on. The century of enslavement, World War One conspiracy, how and why big oil, different categories. It's awesome. You know, this is, I'm really proud, you know, that we, and it took time and we kind of, you know, meandered through it until we, whatever, got to it because we're both busy. But a lot of this stuff, you just wait. The time just gets perfect. Yeah. You know, it just happens. It all comes together.
Well, yeah, you either wait until it's ready and then you go, or you wait until it's perfect and then you never go and it never happens. So.
Well, me, it's always, you got to keep working at it. But what happens is, you know, well, I thought you were working on it. We're working on it. And then when it just happens to be a God thing and it just happens at just the right time.
Oh, yeah.
It just coalesces with, you know, whatever.
Interesting. I've been doing this now, 17 years? And I've noticed, like, I'll put out a podcast about something, and then, like, the next week, that'll become, like, a big issue for some reason. Like, something will happen in the news to make that a big issue. I'm like, oh, I was talking about that last week. It's happened over and over throughout my work. And who knows? Maybe that's just me, like, seeing, because now I'm thinking about that thing. But at any rate, however that works, well, it's interesting.
Tell me about the future. Oh, wait, yeah, it's time. You got to go. But, you know, but before you go, go ahead and talk about the future. Now, what you plan for you? How you got the site redone. Yeah. You got, you know, the site's out. You got your archive. You're working. You're hopefully, you know, Matt Raymer and ContentSafe.co for content providers platform stuff got freed up some time, maybe. You know, you got your regular show with James Evans Pilato, Media Monarchy. He's busy doing stuff. You know, you come on here. Thank you. You know, audience really loves that. And then, you know, you're doing your document. I mean, there's, you got some time, you're carving, you got a project, a future something.
Yeah.
Well, tell.
We have a big project that I actually is part of the reason I have to go. I've got to work on it. That will be coming out later this year in printed form, shall we say. So that will be coming later this year. And I definitely have a long-term documentary project that I really need to get out. And so I will definitely be working on that. If I'm looking longer term than that, though, it's a really a good question. You might have noticed, I don't know if you've seen, but there's a bunch of YouTubers that have been making like a why I'm quitting YouTube kind of videos lately. And a lot of people have been hanging up their YouTube gear, as it were. Because we're reaching an interesting point where some people have been doing like this type of video, weekly content for like 20 years or something. But it's just the kind of thing you're probably not going to do for the rest of your life. I don't know. I have no idea. I can't imagine I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing in the way that I'm doing it right now for the rest of my life. That I'm not sure how that's going to work. But I don't know longer term than this how that goes forward. I will continue doing this and getting the word out. But in what form that will take and all of that, I'm not sure. But I'm definitely, these projects I'm working on right now, I definitely need to prioritize those.
Okay.
It goes from the aftermath.
I'm assuming there's a James Corbett book, you know, coming one of these days.
15 years ago, and I always keep my...
Well, I mean, you're a literary guy. I was like, you have... first question, do you have a book now? I mean, is there always one you already written that I don't know about?
Well, it's only about 97.8% written at the moment.
No. I mean, one before this one.
Oh, no. I haven't published anything, no.
Why? I mean, that seems so James Corbett-y right there.
Is I take it too seriously. Because people who don't take it that seriously will be just like, fine, put it out. And I could have put out a book 15 years ago. But I'm
like Mark Dice.
Her book, yeah. But at any rate, yeah, I'm definitely.
Good. Publishing. Good.
Publishing more in the future. I imagine
that's good.
Where I'm going in the future.
You know, the only reason if I felt, before you guys want to express this, I always felt, you know, it's time and pressure, you know, time and pressure. You just got to keep it on them. And we have, you know, an impact. And mostly it was local and it just keeps going national. I'm trying to bring it back to Arizona, you know, and then you get more impact here and it kind of goes national again anyway. But, you know, and I like that inspiration and other people do it. Well, do you mind if I go, are you kidding me? That's why I did it the way I did it. There's a template for the newspaper, a template for the online magazine, a template for the act. I mean, I did it for you to do it. You think you need to ask me permission? You deserve to be told no, you know, that kind of thing. So this is, you know, I'm 62, You know, there's going to be, you know, I could retire, probably not. You know, but we're kind of morphing into this occupy the land thing. I could see what's going to be necessary in the future is just insulate yourself from what's coming. You're not going to stop it. You know, there is no stopping it. It has to go through this process. That's what Freedom's Phoenix is all about. I knew that we were going to get to this. And when Portland started burning, and after they had the movie The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, I saw him going, wow, predictive program, here we go. And the lockdown and everything happened like a month or two after that. And we see that in October of 19, and then 20, and here we go. And we'd already decided the Love Bus. That was kind of our last big thing. And so I'm going, all right, here we go. Well, there's nobody else really picking that up. You know, I don't know of anyone that does the multimedia training, activist, revolutionary kind of encouraged viral activism thing. Oh, it went viral. I forwarded it to 20 people. I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
I'm, you know.
For me right now, because, yeah, as I look back at all of this work I've done for nearly 20 years, but how much of it really, really lasts, you know? And everything gets reduced online into content that's packaged up, and you spread it out to your socials, and it gets clicks and likes, and it's completely forgotten about by next week. The 7th annual
General Public Opinion
will be yesterday's news. Is already yesterday's news. Like, who's going to find it now? Whatever. It's a few days old, let alone...
You know, the activism part, you know, the fact that you did open source education, the fact that you even have the documentaries, the fact that they're available and they can't be deleted because they definitely want to delete them.
Going through a mental shift right now where I'm starting to realize fundamentally I am a teacher. I am an educator. And that's what
Boom.
I And put it in that context, this sort of, yeah, one way to get that out is to have this online class, essentially. But maybe that's not the best way to do it. Or at least if I reframe it into more of a, this is an education, a course. This is something that you study. Then and put people
yeah,
mindset. It will be a different
mindset.
I'm trying to go viral on TikTok.
Yeah, no, mindset. It's I keep screaming general public opinion, you know, and the opinion, you know, general public opinion of what? Now, freedom good, government bad. I mean, you know, and but general public opinion. The mean, the big reason we did the Love Bus Liberty tour, and it was great time. Everybody goes, did you pick the right time? Yes, I did, because people needed to know that they could peacefully resist. They could express themselves, how to make signs, thousands of them, how cheap they could be. Get the 30 of your closest friends or whatever to come and we'll do it. I'll show you what's up. That inspiration, that mindset, that ability, you know, that you have power, that you're not just a freaking livestock, that is what's powerful. And I've seen it so many times over years by somebody that would do activism, that would challenge the man, challenge him. Face to face, you know, an election cycle with signs, a movement passing out, you know, doing newspapers, whatever. And that's why I like your stuff, because I can promote it. You know, I'll promote, made you look. That's my made you look. Well, if you get the confidence that you can make people look and then have something for them to look at, you know, have something that is powerful. So that's kind of where, you know, my head is. And the next one is occupy the land. All the stuff is going to that because it's going to be so necessary because they, them, those are not going to go away. They're not going to stop. This is not going to stop. You know, there's a mushroom cloud on the horizon. But the thing is, I don't think a mushroom cloud, I think they understand it doesn't serve their purposes. If there's a mushroom cloud, you failed. Government failed. Whatever it is, you failed. Mushroom cloud failed. Yeah, but there was a good reason. Don't matter. Failed. Done. Next. You know, that a mushroom cloud is going to change everything. And I hopefully they get it.
Yeah.
Or not. Anyway, I mean, somebody gets it. Yeah, thanks for
conversations. It's always good to recenter myself and get in.
Yeah.
What I'm doing and why I'm doing it. You always do.
Yeah. No. I'm you know, I'm big enough. Yeah, all you super fans of Corbett out there. Yeah, what have you done? How much are you helping push of doing what? You know, that's one thing. You should have a place activism, dude. You know, that's Pilato's thing. Media market, he's definitely on the marketing, merchandising kind of, you know, advertising, promoting kind of gig. Have him hit me up, man. We'll work out something. And that's where we're kind of going to. Yeah, God, man, there's so much stuff we're doing. Thanks for coming on, James. It's always awesome to talk to you. I feel better because I need to feel better. I need to feel better. All right. Peace, brother. Oh, yeah. Your smile.